Blog Talk Radio.
The big wireless companies sold you an outdated plan tied to long-term contracts and mystery fees. Simple Mobile's different. You get a lightning-fast 4G LTE nationwide network with no contract, ever. And keep the phone and number you love. Just text the word BYOP to 611-611 to see if your phone is compatible. Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
Standard text, message, and data rates may apply based on your mobile phone service. Please refer always to the privacy policy at simplemobile.com/privacy policy and the terms and conditions at simplemobile.com/terms and conditions.
Blog Talk Radio.
She keeps lighting up the way, even on the darkest day. Dawn is breaking, all awaken from the night. From the shore into the wave, washing all the bitterness away, lifting darkness with your stillness and your grace. It's you I like, and you, it's you I like, 'cause you are light, and I see everything I need, it's alright, yeah, shine bright, light up the skies above, shine bright, do it with the ones you love, shine bright, and never, ever, ever let it die. Shine bright, light up the stars above, shine bright, and do it in the name of love, shine bright, and I promise to never let it die, and if they ever make me choose, you know exactly what I'm gonna do. No question, second guessing, it's you I choose, yeah, yeah, 'cause you are light, and I see everything I need, yes, you are light, yeah, yeah, shine bright.
Love!
and our promise to never let it die. Mm-hmm.
You're now tuned into the most powerful platform for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth and beyond. You're tuned to the voice of an entire nation. Welcome to the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the almighty, all-wise, true and living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise. In the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you, we say to you all in both their names of love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, let me say unto you all, As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful platform for truth anywhere on the web. This is your platform for black education, black liberation, black inspiration. This is the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled Blood Rain. We're witnessing the death of an empire, part two. Now, for those of you who are joining us who are new, for those of you who may not be aware, maybe you come here and there and you're wondering why there was no show two days ago and there was no show before that. Hey, listen to me. I'm doing what I can with what I can do, what I have. If Blog Talk Radio shuts me out, I can't do anymore, and I'm not going to get my blood pressure up over that. You understand? So I'm just letting you all know that when they allow us to do the show will be on. When they block us from doing the show, hey, I can't do anything. That's to the wind. And we know that Allah pays them back for their mockery. So, in that spirit, I like to say we're back. I love you, and I miss you, and God is most definitely good all the time. Now, this show is part two of Blood Rain. We're witnessing the death of an empire. Now, we're going to go along the same lines that we went along on the previous Blood Rain episode, part one. But I want to say something to you all. Do you now see the desperation in the empire that we have been telling you about, that we've been warning you that was coming? Do you now see her lashing out at all the nations? Do you now see her threatening not only her enemies, but threatening her so-called allies now? Do you see her sabotaging relations with her own so-called allies? Do you see these things? Do you see her on one hand destabilizing Venezuela and on the other hand blaming the nations who are trying to prevent the overthrow of the democratically elected government there? Now, everybody with common sense know that America has her hand and they're trying to overthrow. She's openly stated this. This is public knowledge, public news. And yet she wants to blame China and Russia for destabilizing Venezuela. Didn't she do that in Iraq? Didn't she do that in Syria? Didn't she blame Russia for Ukraine, even though it was America and NATO doing this? See, this is what bloodthirsty, desperate former hegemons do. When it is time for the empire to crumble and collapse, when it's time that the power that she once freely put around the globe on other people, whether they were willingly or unwillingly accepting this. When it's time for her influence to recede, she cannot accept that. It reminds me of some of these old boxers. And excuse me, if you hear it squeaking in the background, my children got to my desk chair, so now it's squeaking a little bit. So you're going to have to deal with that. But anyway, these old fighters, these old boxers, these old basketball players and all of these things, in their prime, it seems that they could do no wrong in their profession. But as Father Time caught up with them, you started seeing slowly but surely their quickness, their agility, their speed, all of that starts to decline. And they want to push it back to yesteryear. But time waits for no man. And so they stay. Some of them stay too long, or they retire from boxing or MMA or whatever you want, and then the limelight, the adulation, the applause, all of these things are something that keeps them addicted to fighting, and they get back in there, and then you see your favorite so-called athlete embarrassed, destroyed, decapitated in a fight. This is what is happening to America. This is happening to America in real time, and you're not paying any attention to this. The so-called global hegemon, without rival, without partners, only would look on the other nations as junior partners. Even nations such as Russia and China, she would say that these were not even her rivals. But today, look what's happening. They are surpassing her in military technology, in technology in general. She is throwing a hissy fit at Huawei or Huawei or whichever way you want to see it, because this has become the global leader in technology, China. The Chinese tech company, Huawei or Huawei, you know what I'm saying. And now she's threatening her allies to ban and sanction China. Isn't this something? At the same time, I want you to understand something, because these things are not happening by chance. These things are not happening out of the blue. Remember I told you every time America sees that she's losing in a certain area, she reverts back to her old ways. She's losing the economic game. So what she does is she passes all of this stuff around to these so-called mainstream and all of these so-called alternative media sites that constantly report on China's internal debt and how China is stimulating this economy with more QE. Now, mind you, even if China is doing that, which she probably is, nobody is doing that on a scale like America. Nobody is doing that on a scale like Europe. You understand? But they will have you. Well, China is putting $2 trillion in QE to try to stimulate their economy. This is what they're doing, right? I want you to pay close attention to what I'm saying, because these are little tricks even the alternative media gets you on. And then you lose focus on the big thing about who is the largest and the greatest debtor nation in the history of the world. And once you look at that and you focus on that bullseye, then you can say, okay, well, if America is the largest and the greatest debtor nation, not just in the last 40 years, not just in the last 400 years, but in the history of the world, I want you to understand how significant that is, all right? When Jim Rogers says that, when Peter Schiff says that, when Mr. Boom, Doom, and Gloom says that, right? When all of these people from Max Kaiser and all of these people come and tell you that America is addicted to debt. Her economy is a parasitic economy, right? Capitalism is a parasitic form of governance in money markets. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is vulture. They call it vulture capitalism, right? What does vultures do? Vultures eat the dead. They eat the corpses of things. This is how they survive. They survive by following the dead. Is that not right? Now, if, again, now we got a bullseye on the true subject of the matter. If America is, and she is, the largest and the greatest debtor nation, not in the last 40 years, not in the last 400 years, But in the history of the entire world, now, if we date back the history of Yaku's world, we can say 6,000, and we can even push it to 6,600 years if we stretch it, right? That's a long, long time, right? But they didn't just say that. They said in the history of the world is over 76 trillion years old. Now, that tells you something. So before you start paying attention to China and her debt problem, which she has a debt problem, one must focus on the greatest debt to nation. And then one has to focus on the people whom they are mostly intertwined with. Because yes, China and the U.S. Economies are intertwined. But China has a voracious appetite for gold and silver and tangible assets to offset what they see coming. Right? Thousands upon thousands of tons of gold. They have strategic mineral reserves, not just oil reserves. Listen to me good. Copper, steel, bauxite, any kind of oil, mineral. China has large reserves of these things stored up where they buy it around the world with the so-called U.S. debt. This is to offset the decline and fall of the dollar. This is smart. Because, listen, if the Chinese government is in trouble, remember that most of the Chinese debt is held by the Chinese citizens, okay? This is something that you must understand. And we must look at the law of nature. We have a book, the translation of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's lecture series that he gave, the lecture that he gave, and we translated it into book form, and it is called Self-Preservation. It's the first law of nature. Now, if China's economy is cracking and buckling under the weight of debt, and America is indebted to China, before China, common sense tells you, before China goes out, China will, as they say on the street, pull America's whole card. Is that not right? And you got to pay me this debt. And if America refuses to or reneges on it, then the world will see her. The empire would have no clothes on. And other nations would stampede. See, China set this thing up beautifully, but it wasn't them that orchestrated this. It was the Lord of the world that orchestrated this. Because if America reneges on the debt to their largest lender, it would cause a stampede of nations out of the dollar. Right? Destroying America's economy, destroying the purchasing power of the dollar, destroying the tentacles of the empire to expand further and to maintain bases around the world. And it will destroy the economics within the domestic policy or life of the American empire. Do you understand this? But some of you get misdirected because of what these so-called alternative media people are saying. Some of you get turned around because you read this and you hear this. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. This devil knows better than you and I that his world is crashing and burning. As a matter of fact, it brings to mind Babylon. Remember the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says to us that America's history is that of Babylon, that of ancient Egypt. Well, let's go to the fall of America. This is on my mind right now. Brothers and sisters, y'all bear with me. I think it's on page 132. Oh, yeah, here we go. All right, here we go. Listen to this. And I was just thinking about one paragraph, but I like to read things to you in its context. Because so many people read things out of context to justify their madness or their perception or their view of things, and I want you to have the whole scope of things. Now, I'm looking at one or two paragraphs, all right? But if I want you to bear with me because I want to read it in its context, so I'm going to read the paragraphs that precede the ones that I'm talking about, okay? So that you can understand this, because this is talking about Babylon and what we should expect in Babylon. I'm talking about not ancient Babylon, but modern Babylon, the one that is suffering and is dying under the hands of divine judgment. Blood rain. We're witnessing the death of an empire, part two. On page 131 and 132, there's a chapter, and it's more pages, but I just want to get to this. this verse. It's chapter 32 of the fall of America. And the reason I'm going to read this, it came to mind. I'm going to read this, then we're going to go to a clip, a few clips, okay? Because I want you to see. I want you to understand why America is under such tribulation, such judgment. You know that she's in trouble. Listen to me. A few days ago, there was an earthquake in Tennessee. Earthquake in Tennessee. A few days ago, there was an earthquake in Alabama. Never mind those devastating tornadoes that took place up in there. Right? A few days ago, there was a boom. They won't call it an earthquake, but there was a massive boom that nobody can explain that took place in the Panhandle, northern Florida. Right? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that America would be touched lightly around her size and in the middle and here and there, just to let her know that she too can be touched by the hand of God. Right? All of these things are taking place in the midst of a massive snowstorm, on top of a massive snowstorm. Mudslides. Sinkholes. Right? And the white man screaming, climate change, and we're at the end of our world. Matter of fact, let me read this real quick, okay? And the title of this chapter is Babylon Could Have Been Saved, But She Was Not. So listen to me good. For those of you who are offering a torchlight or a beacon for America, Babylon, ancient Babylon, could have been saved. She could have been healed, but she was not healed. Could have been. There was a possibility, but the nature, the innateness of that people, of that republic, of that nation, of that people, would not allow them to yield to the call of God, because they had become drunk on who they thought they were. Look at what they're saying in the news, Bolton. Well, we are the future of Syria. Well, we won't leave because we're going to keep an imprint here. Oh, we demand that the democratically elected government of Venezuela step down. Do you see the arrogance in this, the madness in their minds? They want to dictate to everybody everything. This cannot go on in perpetuity. So, let us go into this. Babylon could have been saved. So if you open that torchlight, blow the fire out. Because the words after that tells you that there's no saving. But she was not. Okay? America seems to be the answer to many of the Bible's and the Holy Quran's prophecies. It is mentioned in Jeremiah 51:9 that ancient Babylon could have been healed but was not. For her wickedness was such that she was neither healed nor forgiven. You hear what he said? I'm going to read that part again. It is mentioned in Jeremiah 51:9 that ancient Babylon could have been healed, but was not. For her wickedness was such that she was neither healed nor forgiven. So not only was she not healed, she wasn't forgiven for the hell that she put on people. You understand? And let me look in the news. Look how she kills black people and other people on the news. Look how she announces bombing people illegally and the buildup of a massive might of arms. Does that seem like contrition? When you have a police shooting a person in their back 44 times and it's called justifiable homicide. Huh? When you have people in a raid going to the wrong house and killing a black family. And it is called justifiable homicide. Does she look like she is begging for pity, begging for mercy? That she is really contrite of the heart? I don't think so. Let's go further. Okay? I'm trying to lay this out to you because a lot of you miss this stuff. Because you want to give it your perception. You want to look, you want the people to think that you know and that you understand. But we're gonna back this up with facts, okay? We're going to back it up with scripture. We're going to back it up with theology, history. We're going to back it up with economics, geopolitics, and politics. We're going to leave no stone unturned. All right? So, it goes further. The charges against ancient Babylon. So now she was charged, right? See, God. God didn't just destroy her because somebody said so. There were charges against Babylon. You know, in the court of law, when they bring you forth, they bring you forth, and then they bring up the charges that you are accused of, right? And the prosecutor is supposed to present the evidence that you are indeed guilty of these said crimes. And if you are indeed guilty of these said crimes, you are prosecuted in the line of the statutes of the laws of those lands for those crimes. Is that not right? The Bible teaches us that God would judge these nations out of their own books, right? We ain't got to make nothing up. Hell, you can condemn America just by slavery, just by trying to kill off all of the Aboriginal Indians. You ain't even got to go no further. And she's guilty of death. Is that not right? If they say Hitler was a devil, and that he was one of the worst people to live, and he was accused of killing 6 million Jews, even though President Nixon and all of these others said that that never happened in their historical, in their presidential records, right? What about George Washington? What about the founding fathers who stepped on the neck of millions of slaves, people who were brought here to be slaves? What about all of those people who took part in the Middle Passage? Well, over 100 million, some estimates say 100 million, some estimates go up to 200 million black people were killed, savagely beaten and brutalized and victimized. Is that not enough to condemn them? If you're talking about 6 million Jews, what about 100 to 200 million black people? Huh? You can't write this out. America's still screaming and whining about 9/11, which she committed on her own self. 3,000 people. And that's justifying her to go around the world and bomb the hell out of people and destroy the nation's sovereignty around the world and the peace of those people in far-off lands under what she justifies as a war on terror, which is really a war of terror by the greatest terrorists in the history of the world. So if you can do that for 3,000 people, what do you think that the Lord of the world is going to do just for them 100 to 200 million in the Middle Passage? Just for them 85 million Indians? Just for them 30 to 60 million black people doing slavery? Huh? See, we have to put things out there. And this is an inconvenient truth that most people don't want to hear. But I don't care. But I don't care about that. I got to tell you the truth, and I got to tell it to you right. So he goes further and says, the charges against ancient Babylon, according to her history, were that she persecuted and imprisoned the Jews. She brought them into captivity from Jerusalem after the taking of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. Doesn't that sound familiar? She brought people into captivity. Nobody fulfills the history of the prophecy that God talked when he talked with Abraham. At the time, he was so-called Abram. And God said, told Abram, know for surety that your seed shall be a stranger among strange people, and they shall serve those people for 400 years. Those people will ill entreat them, right? There's no people on the face of the planet that fits that captivity other than the American so-called Negro. And what did God say he would do? He said, I'm going to come. I ain't sending nobody. These people are my sacred vessels. They are my jewels. They're the apple of my eye. The Bible tells you that. I'm going to come because this job is too important for me to leave it to anybody else. He said, and when I come, I'm going to judge that nation whom they served, right? So God is going to act as the judge. What is he going to judge? The charges that is brought up against Babylon, is that not right? Talk back to your brother. Listen what it says. Nebuchadnezzar was also punished for his part in the enslavement, according to the ancient history of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar had among the Jews whom he had held in captivity Daniel, a prophet of Israel. The king did not love Daniel and his prophethood, but he was able to get Allah's prophecy of the destruction of Babylon from Daniel. Sound familiar, huh? They didn't love Elijah Muhammad, but they listened to him. He was the most listened to and watched man. And listen to this good for some of you black power people, because you don't like this inconvenient truth. When they had the white man's conference, and they were talking about Elijah Muhammad's lecture titled The Theology of Time, right? And they said about this, and I'm paraphrasing because right now I'm getting ready to read something, that that was the most in-depth and powerful lecture ever given by man. I'm going to say that again. That was the most powerful and in-depth lecture ever given by a man. But I thought he taught hate. But the white man saw it, and he said that that was wisdom. But he had you thinking it was hate. And he got with his cronies, his scientists, and they pieced apart what Elijah Muhammad was saying, and they said that that was the most powerful and in-depth lecture ever given by a man. Jesus was a man, wasn't he? Moses was a man, wasn't he? Abraham was a man, wasn't he? Prophet Muhammad was a man, wasn't he? They didn't say that their lectures were the most powerful. They said that his lecture was the most powerful ever given by a man. You understand what I'm saying to you? I have to put this out there because this, some of you just don't want to acknowledge it because you don't like the package that God delivered his truth in. But you're not going to run from this because I stand here on this platform and challenge any man, woman, child, dog, bear, cat, lion, anything to defeat this divine truth. Anybody? 347-989-0855. 347-989-0855. Right? And if you can't see, you can challenge me in Braille. We can do this like this. And if you're mute, get on one of those mute telephones. We can do it like that. Okay? Rashid, I'll get you in a few minutes. Let me finish this right here. But listen to what he says. King Nebuchadnezzar had among the Jews whom he held in captivity Daniel, a prophet of Israel. The king did not love Daniel and his prophethood, but he was able to get Allah's prophecy of the destruction of Babylon from Daniel. But remember, he still held Daniel as a slave and as a prisoner with the other common Jews. Under King Belshazzar, Daniel was still alive and was used for the revealing of God's aims and purposes against Babylon. Oh, man, this is powerful. And I wasn't even thinking about this part. I was going at the few paragraphs right down. But let's go further. After studying the history of the destruction of ancient Babylon under these two kings, we have a very good graphic picture pointing to a future people and country. The words, "We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed," do not say why she was not healed. Was there a possible chance for Babylonians being forgiven because of the evils done to the Jews, the sacking of Jerusalem, and the destruction of their temple, and the bringing them out of their temple's sacred vessels to be used for sport under Belshazzar's reign? Could this crime of the Babylonians be forgiven? And if not forgiven, what does this teach us? Okay, listen good, brothers and sisters. I hope y'all are following along. Because you need to be attentive, because if I can go to martial arts class at 5:30 in the morning and get back here at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm beat, and I haven't been to sleep in almost 2 days, you can sit still and you can listen. I think you owe me that. Okay? So let's go further. Is not the history of ancient Babylon's unforgiving evils a sign that a future enslavement of God's people? And then in parentheticals, he tells you God's people are the American so-called Negro. Then he says, let me read it in this context. Is not the history of ancient Babylon's unforgiving evil the sign of that future enslavement of God's people, the American so-called Negro, will not be forgiven? Yet, there may be a chance, as Babylon had, but they will not do that which God desires them to do so that he may pardon them and forgive them and prolong their time. Here we are now. We're getting to where I wanted to be at. Listen to this. the revelations of John's prophecies were that they repented not of their evil deeds, but blasphemed the very name of God. Stop right there. Let's see if we're in that time right now. Let's see if America should be forgiven, right? Even though all of her founding fathers, well, I should say 99.9% of her founding fathers were Masons or had a Holy Quran, right? And even though all of them swore that they would not do X, Y, and Z, and then they went around and did it. Oh, we got to talk about it for a second. All right? Y'all bear with me. And now, in the midst of all of this, after our people had been so loyal to them, went and fought in their wars and were hung when they got back home, still are fighting in their wars and shot down by the police when they get in the street, suffering from PST and all that other stuff, PTS or whatever it's called. Now, with that being said, listen to this again. I want to give you something. Because it's coming to me, because I didn't read this right at this moment. I'm reading it right with you. He says, the revelations of John's prophecies were that they repented not of their evil deeds. Stop right there. Are they repenting of the mass incarceration of you? Always trumpeting human rights around the world, and America only comprises 5% of the population of the planet Earth, yet she has what? 80% of the world's population of prisoners, or 75% of the population, listen to me good, 5% of the population of the planet Earth, and between 75 and 80% of the total prison population, I believe it is, with 85 to 90% of that being dead of her ex-slaves. How in the hell can that be justified? How can you go around the world talking about human rights when you are violating the basic tenets of rights of the people who have served you so loyally ever since they were brought here in chains in captivity? How the hell can you? Oh, no, don't talk back to me right now. Blood rain. We're witnessing the death of an empire, part two. So the revelations of John's prophecies were that they repented not of their evil deeds. Or they repent. Go on Fox News. They're justifying it, right? The police unions, they're justifying it, right? The president, all the way down to the mayor and back up. Well, we support our men in blue, right? Because they are the enforcers of the empire. They are the domestic military wing of the empire, right? And listen to this, what follows. The revelations of John's prophecies were that they repented not of their evil deeds, but blasphemed the very name of God. So, with all of these founding fathers with their holy Qurans, right, that they never told you about, all of this Masonic and Islamic stuff, all across the capital of Washington, D.C. Is that not right? And yet they want to have false flag operations and pay people to just scream out, "Allahu Akbar," and put a beard on, because these are psyops, right? And then they say Islamic extremism, Islamic terrorism, right? And then that goes from there. Listen to what this white man does. He steadily breaks down your opposition to his madness, and then you become an unknowing and unwilling victim of it. Then he goes and say, well, we're against Islamism. You're not against Christianism, but you're against Islamism. If you go around the world, Muslims don't have 1,000 or 5,000 military bases around the world. They're not the ones who are threatening the world with nuclear Armageddon. They're not the ones that are sanctioning nations. They're not the ones involved in every nation's business and trying to dictate to them what they should and should not do. This is the madness of the West. Is that not right? And then they come back and say, oh, war on terror. The Muslims. And then you have people in the news media blaspheming Islam. It's everywhere. In the alternative media, everywhere, blaspheming the name of Allah. When Allah is the totality of every name of God. Whether you want to say the beneficent, the merciful, the highest, listen to me good. All of these names, if you want to say them together, is Allah. So they blaspheme the very totality of God. Is that not right? This is what happened in Babylon, right? I'm just breaking it down for you. The revelations of John's prophecies were that they repented not of their evil deeds, but blasphemed the very name of God. That's in Revelation 16:9, if you want to go read it. Therefore, when a man is guilty of a great evil done against the cause of God and his people, he cannot be forgiven unless he seeks forgiveness himself. Do you see America asking for forgiveness for the hell that she put on your back and the hell that she continues to rain down on your children day and night? Nope. Is she asking for forgiveness for intervening in Syria, Libya, Yemen, Somalia, all of these? Is she asking for forgiveness? Is she showing a contrition of her heart? Nope. She's only becoming more arrogant in a time of her fall. This is the same path that Babylon of ancient days walked down. This is the same thing that caused Pharaoh to lose his kingdom because he bucked up against the Lord of the world. You understand? So listen, he goes and says, therefore, when a man is guilty of a great evil done against the cause of God and his people, he cannot be forgiven unless he seeks forgiveness for himself. We see this. Listen to what Elijah Muhammad said. We see this in the working of the fall of America today. So he told you the history of Babylon. He goes and refers you to scripture and theology and history. Then he brings you up to speed and he tells you, look in what is going on in America today and you will see the exact same course. Right? You can't dispute it. Then he says, I say, for most surely, this is the divine fall of America as it was of ancient Babylon for its evils done to the Jews. You understand? And let me stop right here, right now. We got this stuff going on. I want to say dozens of calls are being dropped constantly. I know that. I was seeing if it was going to continue going or they were going to let people on. I want to apologize right here, right now for what they're doing. And I know some people get fed up when they get knocked off or get knocked off once or twice or three times. Please be as persistent as the devil is in his persistence of trying to stop you from listening. Be as persistent of coming back listening, okay? I would really appreciate that. But let's go further. Even to this day, America does not want to repent of her evil done to her black slaves. Listen to what Elijah Muhammad says. I have given her a right chance, but she does not want to do justice by her free slaves to get an extension of time from Allah. So, she is not repenting. She is not showing remorse, regret, none of that. She is only becoming more arrogant, more boastful, and more belligerent as the judgment intensifies. Isn't that what happened to Belshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon? Isn't that what happened to Pharaoh? Every time God plagued Pharaoh, Pharaoh would go back and say, Moses, go tell your God to do X, Y, and Z. I'm not going to let you go. But I'll do this, this, and this. And when God stopped the plague, God knew what he was going to do. He'll go back to doing some other kind of evil against the ex-slaves. And then oh, Moses, come here. Come, I need you to go tell your God this and this and this. And then finally, God set him up. He didn't know. He thought he was doing what he wanted to do, but he didn't know that God was breaking his resistance and his nation by degrees, and he couldn't perceive it. This is the same thing that America is doing. She is alienating South and Central America in the Caribs, right? She has alienated Africa, the Middle East, and so-called Eastern Europe. She has alienated her so-called staunch allies in Europe and in Asia. The world is looking at a belligerent falling power that has extended her empire too far. And we see with every day as nations turn against the dollar, as nations go in and trade amongst each other outside of the dollar, as nations pull their political clout together to rebuff America's aggression politically, geopolitically, and economically, we see that the empire is running on fumes. Blood rain. We're witnessing the death of an empire, part two. Let me go to the phone lines real quick with my good brother, Rashid. I say unto you, brother.
Let me do something.
As-salamu alaykum. Yeah, brother?
Walaikum salam. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
Getting back to what you were talking about, by the honorable Elijah Muhammad, brother. You see, Prophet Muhammad never knew anything such as ice. Jesus didn't know nothing about ice.
Hold on one second. Hold on, brother. Say that again. Your phone is breaking up. Yeah, we hear you now.
You hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. How you going to talk about that, the honorable Elijah? Prophet Muhammad didn't know ice was such a thing as ice. Jesus didn't know nothing about ice.
Right.
How are you going to put these things over men in the modern times, revealing you things that the white man's society didn't know? How are you going to equate those with the honorable Elijah Muhammad?
Right.
That's the honorable Elijah Muhammad tells you how to motion the planets bobble, which way to go, what forces around in space. You hear the Star Wars, the Force. First thing I ever heard the Force was, I don't be Elijah Muhammad talking about what
right.
The planets around.
And then you hear it in Star Wars after Elijah Muhammad tells you.
Then he tells you about the atmosphere around here. You know how to listen to from the world.
Brother, hold on, brother. Hang up and call right back in so I can bring you back in. Your phone is breaking up real bad. I'm going to mute you, let you hang up and call right back in and keep your thought of mine, all right? So listen, as we're saying, the brother went back on something that I was saying about the lecture. That lecture that the devil said that was the most powerful, in-depth lecture ever given by a man. Ever. See, what I'm trying to get you to understand is that the white man understand who Elijah Muhammad is. What I'm trying to get you to understand is they understand that this is the day and time, just like they understood, Babylon understood, ancient Egypt understood, all of these nations that fail for their arrogance, their evil, and their intransigence, all of them understood that that time was coming to an end. But they had to maintain some sort of semblance of power over the people so that the people would just not bum rush and just leave it all together. So think about this. Let me put this on your mind, and then we're going to go to some clips and stuff. We'll continue this discussion. Elijah Muhammad taught you about the germ of life. I'm listening to me good. Prior to him teaching this, nobody taught this. He taught you how you can go into the germ and splice things in and splice things out. What is the white man doing today, huh? He's doing all of this stuff that Elijah Muhammad told you about, didn't he? Splicing stuff in and splicing things out, making his own kind of GMO stuff, and even telling you that he can go into, Elijah Muhammad told you this in the lecture, that you can go into the germ of the man and take things out and put things in. What the white man doing? See, the white man ain't stupid. You are. You laugh. Oh, that Elijah Muhammad making up that old black science. And then the white man went to the laboratories, right? And then what is he doing? He's doing exactly the same thing that you mocked Elijah Muhammad for telling you that could be done, right? You never think of these things because you're a fool. This white man give you wisdom of his world and you become fool. And some of you think that you pro-black. That's what's crazy about this. You never take the time to do. When this man told you about water and life on Mars, what the white man coming out telling you now? Huh? I remember, if you think I'm telling a story, you can Google this or you can go to, I think it's Science Daily, if I'm not mistaken. This was a while ago, so you can go there and you can look this up. Elijah Muhammad told you about the atmosphere on Pluto, right? And how Pluto, even though it was 4 billion, excuse me, brothers and sisters, 4 billion, 6, I got my sinus is acting up a little bit. Excuse me, brother and sisters. 4 billion, 600 million miles away. Listen to this. He told you about the atmosphere, the water, the mountains, everything on there. And then, you know, the white man says, it's too cold, right? Then he goes and sends his satellite. Guess what he says? It's oceans up there. The atmosphere looks similar to the Earth. It's a blue atmosphere. The white, brothers and sisters, I'm not making this up. Elijah Muhammad told you that God created himself in triple darkness, in the womb of nothingness. He brought forth the atoms to produce water through this force, this unknown force, which he became a part of and became that force because he is that which he created himself out of. Now listen, the white man says deep into the universe, there are trillions upon trillions of tons of water, right? What? What? And there's a force so powerful that it makes the universe expand and contract. The white man put it in his movie, Star Trek, Star Wars. The force is with you, Luke. Right? You laugh, and then the white man put it in there. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that to come into the nation, you earn your X. The X is for the unknown. It symbolizes you returning to your own. You're getting rid of this way of the old world, and you're coming into the knowledge of yourself. You're coming into a power that was stripped from you. He puts it in his cartoons, the X-Men. I'm telling you, it's just so much, brothers and sisters, that you ignore because you're in love with this white man's world. You want him to stop beating you. That's why you're screaming out and protesting in the street. You want, why? Because you want to be a part of the system. You don't want him to stop beating you because you want to separate. You want him to stop beating you so that he can accept you as his equal in his government, in his nation, among his own kind. That ain't going to happen. Because for him to do that, he would alienate his own kind. Remember, the first law of nature is self-preservation. So all of these things, brothers and sisters, I'm just laying this on. I'm going to bring Brother Rashid in. Then we're going to tackle this stuff about this economics and this politics. Man, time goes by so quick on this show. But let's go to the phone line with our good brother, Brother Rashid. Let me bring you in, Brother. I say unto you again, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, brother. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you good now, brother.
Okay. I was talking about I was talking about what the message was saying about the universe, brother. I remember back in about 81, my mentor was telling me, showed me an article that was in New York, LA Times. It was a science part of it, and it was talking about that the inside an atom is similar to what is in the universe. Now,
that's direct
Elijah Muhammad's teaching.
That's right.
See? But Elijah Muhammad is nobody, but in his science and all of his technology and stuff, when Elijah Muhammad's teacher came, it blessed the white man to get to progress in his science.
That's right.
And still, you want to relate him to a no man factor. To a no man factor. That's what that is. And it just shows how silly our people are, brother. The wisdom of Elijah Muhammad brought, brother, the white man's scholars and scientists whom you wish put so high, like the men you said, and compared to a lot of nothing. Tell me
that's
one
right.
star the white man then brought in. tell me one planet the white man then created when Elijah Muhammad gives you the science of the universe. Like we said, the man you said, there's an atmosphere around the universe. White men don't know nothing about that. Right? He knew nothing about that. Surely the white man didn't teach me what I teach, because I teach that which you probably wouldn't dream in your wildest dreams you couldn't come up with.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was a nothing teaching, then why the white man parented it?
Mm-hmm.
Why is he so interested in what he says? Like I said, Charles de Gaulle said if we can get rid of this little man, we'd have a glorious future. He didn't say that
yes,
about
sir.
No Martin Luther King, no Reverend Jesse Jackson, none of the excellent. Matter of fact, he didn't even say it about any Arab or anybody on the planet. No, Elijah Muhammad teacher is what the messenger teaches, what it says the old ancient days will come. The people that created the universe is the one that taught Elijah Muhammad. And now they're preparing to take their world back. That's why the white man's world is falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
The man said it takes time to build up a world, take time
and
to tie down a world.
That's
takes
right.
time to build up a planet, takes time to destroy it. It takes time. And it don't come in a time in which you think it comes in. Everything is on time, brother. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salaam, beautiful. Yes, sir. So the brother is on point, and the brother, he is telling you absolutely. Now, I want you to do this, brothers and sisters, because we're lazy. So I want to give you a project. I want you to study from 1930 up to today, all right? And I want you to study prior to 1930, right? From 1930 up to the day, the white man has made his greatest advance in science ever. You know that? I mean, he is going into the genome. He's going into the RNA, the DNA. He's going into the germ of life. He's splicing in and splicing out from 1930 up to the day. But prior to that, he had no knowledge of these things. Prior to Elijah Muhammad. This is what I'm trying to get to you. I'm trying to make you understand where this wisdom, some of you hear and say, oh, that brother was getting down, oh, that brother showed something. But listen, I'm an empty vessel without these teachings. I'm trying to let you know where it all comes from. Direct you to the right path so that your foot don't slip, so that you don't get bit by the vipers and the snakes that's lying in the cut, okay? All praise is due to Allah. So we're looking at the fall of the white man's world. This is, you cannot dispute this. This is indisputable truth. His world is falling. He's telling you this. As a matter of fact, let's go to something real quick. A headline, okay? I'm going to read some headlines to you, okay? Just a few. The trade deficit continues to explode. Factories continue to be closed, and the U.S. jobs continue to be sent overseas. That's one. The next one. U.S. job cuts announcements rise 117% to the highest levels that we've seen in more than 3 years. And even while that is being announced, they are also telling you that the numbers are being fudged to make them look better. So just imagine if they were not manipulating the numbers. Okay? Now, let's go to another. Millennials are more than $1 trillion in debt, and most of them don't even own a home. Think about that. Let's go to another. New numbers confirm that the global economy and the U.S. economy are the weakest they've been since the last recession. They don't want to say depression. That's why they keep using the word recession, right? And then the white man, he knows something is up because the weather is bucking against him, right? He knows something up. The economies are bucking. The weight of the debt on their back is buckling the knees of the Western world. And they see something. In space, they see something. Within the Earth's atmosphere, they see something. Underneath the ground, underneath the water, on land, everywhere. And they're telling you that climate change is threatening the existence of man. No, no, no. Climate change is threatening the existence of mankind. Not the original man, but the man that is made kind of like the original man that has been let free to do what he could do for 6,000 years. And now nature, according to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, all of nature has been turned against this man to rid this universe of this unnatural germ. Brothers and sisters, the headline to prove what I'm saying, planetary collapse threatens our survival. A new study says that more than 1,200 species will almost certainly face extinction. Then they go into another article and they talk about how there's growing acidity in the waters, in the oceans. There are growing dead zones in the ocean. This talks about revelation when an angel put it 1 foot on land and 1 foot on water. And life died out. This is the time, brothers, they're telling you these things. You've got to study. This is why they're dropping it. You know, the scripture tells you that you'll say, why didn't you tell me this? I tried to tell you. You just didn't want to hear. You didn't want to hear what I'm saying. See, what he does, he drops hints. So that you, knowing that you mostly concerned with going out Friday, Saturday, and then praying Sunday, or drinking and acting a fool, he knows that because he made you a fool. He understands what attracts you because he made you into this. He molded you into this over 400 years, right? And he knows that his world is on borrowed time. As a matter of fact, listen to this headline right here. Bomb cyclone hits 70 million across 25 states as late winter storm kills a police officer and Denver airport canceled more than 1,000 flights before closing all runways as hurricane force wind gusts reach 100 miles. Ain't that something? Isn't that something? Now, when do you recall things like this happening? Huh? I'm just asking. All of nature has been turned against him, right? I'm showing you something so that you can prepare for what is coming. It's going to be a very dreadful time, a very dreadful time for those of you who willfully and willingly ignore what's right in your face. As a matter of fact, this is driving the people to heart attacks, to suicide, because they're seeing the Republican decline. They're seeing the economic data showing that there's no way out. This is why they're lashing out at black people. This is why America is lashing out. This is why you're seeing more and more hate violence. This is why you're seeing more and more politicians and news anchors speak out against black, brown, red, and yellow, because they see their world and their republic being brought to a knock. As a matter of fact, Mr. Chris Hedges, he talks about the record suicides and the economic decline. I want you to pay close attention to this, okay? Here we go.
There's a recent report by the U.S. Center for Disease Control that reveals that deaths in America due to alcohol, drugs, and suicide is even higher than ever. The numbers have continued to go up each and every year, but the biggest jump was in opioid deaths, which have increased by a whopping tenfold in just the past 5 years. Some of the biggest increases were seen in the South and in the Rust Belt states like Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Pulitzer Prize-winning author Chris Hedges addresses this problem in his book, The Farewell Tour. I ask him why this is happening.
It's because these people feel trapped. They feel their lives are stagnant. They recognize that there's no way that they can actualize themselves, both in terms of meaningful work and economically. They recognize that there's no way out for their children, and so they are attempting to anesthetize themselves, and this despair, this desperation, what the sociologist Emil Durkheim called anomie, by engaging in self-destructive forms of behavior, whether that is through alcoholism, the opioid crisis, hate groups. I mean, it's important. Durkheim, when he writes his book on suicide, about what it is that drives individuals and communities to carry out acts of self-destruction, says that those who engage in extremist forms of hate are really driven by a desire for self-annihilation. And I think until we address this social inequality, this social dislocation that has shunted aside at this point well over half of the American working poor, you will see these kind of pathologies become more and more pronounced. That they are responding to the fact that they have, at least in their eyes, been discarded as human refuse. And I think they're not wrong. We have created an oligarchic system. Income inequality is now at the highest levels in American history. And, you know, there is a breaking point. Remember, as Darbra Ehrenreich says in Nickel and Dime, being poor, part of the working poor in America, is one long emergency, because when your old car that you can't afford to get fixed breaks down, you can't get to work, then you lose your job, then you can't pay your rent. And finally, it's understandable that you engage in some kind of activity to blunt the pain, and that's what we're seeing. And it's getting worse. It's not getting better.
Is the recourse a change in the political system? And is that the reason that most of the people that you just described adore Donald Trump?
Well, the reason people adore Donald Trump, first of all, they're white. So they're part of that white working class that was more susceptible to the myth of the American dream. And Baldwin writes that African Americans don't have that susceptibility because from the moment they are children, they understand there's two sets of rules, one for them and one for us. But they're the white working class, and so, yes, they are finding in Trump a figure who expresses their rage at the established elites in both parties, whether it's the Bushes or the Clintons, that sold them out. And they're not wrong. And so Trump may be vulgar and crude and even vile, but he is expressing, I would argue, a legitimate rage towards these elites that under the ideology of neoliberalism has fleeced the country and destroyed their lives. And that's the attraction.
Even if he is one of them and is not necessarily enacting policies that will get them out of the hole they're in.
Well, of course, he's a con artist. But the point is that they don't trust the established media. And why should they? The established media has been a handmaiden of corporate power, is owned and dominated by corporate power. So in many ways, he's protected because when they turn on CNN and watch Wolf Blitzer, who, by the way, used to work for AIPAC, they know that they're invisible. Their concerns are invisible. Their lives are invisible. Their suffering is invisible. What's been done to them is invisible. And it's just the chattering of courtiers sitting around Versailles talking about Stormy Daniels or who tweeted what, or which is utterly irrelevant to their existence.
So a political change is the only thing that will, and perhaps even a revolutionary political change, is the only thing that will truly bring some type of salvation to our current condition, at least in the minds of how most Americans who are committing suicide, doing drugs, and getting drunk see it.
Right. Either they're reintegrated into the economy and given a place within that system, one where they can have dignity and respect. I'll tell you, the best encyclical on work written by any pope was written by John Paul II, hardly a raving left winger, but he got it. Work is more than about the exchanging of labor for a wage. It is vitally important to our place within the society, our mental health, our emotional health, and when you take that away, these are the consequences that you get. So either these people are reintegrated economically, and let me go back to Rabin. Yitzhak Rabin in Israel, when he signed the peace agreement with Oslo, understood that the way to break fanaticism among the Palestinians was to give them a place in the Israel economy, the Israeli economy, so that Ahmed could go to Tel Aviv and buy a refrigerator and send his kids to school and have hope. In essence, that's really what this system has done. It has taken away the possibility of hope, and if we don't restore it, things are going to get exponentially worse.
I'm Rick Sanchez. You found us on YouTube, and that's awesome. But you know what? I'm also live every night.
Way out. He talked about the crooks. He talked about the liars, the con artists. He talked about the economy is in dire straits. Talked about revolution and how people need jobs and how the money market is. This man was telling you this, right? What did Elijah Muhammad say in the chapter, "The worst is yet to come"? According to radio and television, and according to individual conversation, and according to conversation heard between government officials concerning their problem of trying to find a way for peace for their people and a way to find the stoppage and of the fall of their money markets and unemployment and a stoppage to the revolutions between the dissatisfied and the dissatisfied and to find a way to be able to eat and to keep the hungry eating from his own labor. Listen to what he says. Pacification is offered, but it does not satisfy. So Elijah Muhammad, he was telling you about these things. He was warning you of what we would see. And now you hear by these guys, especially Chris Hedges, talking about the situation. As a matter of fact, let me read something to you more on this subject. Divine plagues. Remember now that America is under these divine plagues. Her economy is buckling, her trade is buckling, her dollar is buckling, her standing is buckling, her political clout is buckling, right? Her domestic situation is buckling, her international situation is buckling. Everywhere we look is buckling, and the forces of nature are hammering her, right? And the debt situation continues to worsen by the minute. And she continues to expand war after war, thinking maybe this is a salvation this time. If we can continue the war machine to go, and we can conquer these vast resources, we can force the nations to continue buying our debt and to keep the military apparatus and the American Republic afloat and continue going. This is what her mind has been. The more she tries, the more she pushes, the more she puts herself in trouble. Muhammad says, divine plagues and foreign wars are now destroying the American standard of life and money. What did Chris Hedges say? What is Mr. Boom, Doom, and Gloom? What is Max Kaiser saying? What is Peter Schiff saying? What are all these? The more war, what is Ron Paul saying? The wars are bankrupting America. Is that not right? Is that not right? What did Elijah Muhammad say? Divine plague and foreign wars are now destroying the American standard of life and money. Because now people are starting to go outside the dollar. So the dollar is losing its value. What value it had? It's losing its standing. What standing it had? It's losing its clout. The little clout that it had. Her deceitful, filthy temptations now being displayed before once slaves in the world are designed to make the once slaves an enemy of his God and of his own salvation, and are designed to make them take part with them against the aim and purpose of Allah, which is to set the so-called Negro in heaven while he lives. A prophecy relating to America is mentioned in Isaiah 47, verse 1, as a virgin daughter of ancient Babylon's history. As we all know, America is the last, the greatest, and the richest remaining power of the white nations. But now she is fallen, and the prophet Isaiah says, come and sit down in the dust. Remember Isaiah said, there is no throne for thee. Remember that? That's in the Bible. See, she was once considered king of the world, queen of the world, right? She had her throne of technological and economic ingenuity that has been wiped away. So she has no throne of trade. She has no throne of technological ingenuity. She has no throne of military superiority. She is now being forced into the dust of this world. The book says, humble yourself, for you are no more called delicate. Right? This is America. This is the judgment that is whipping America. This is what God had said he would do to America. You are living in it, you're witnessing it in real time, and yet you would like it to be a lie because you are in love with your oppressors. But let me tell you something. It's a very beautiful thing to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, because in this world here, that is the only thing of great significance that you can latch a hold to. Because everything that he has said has proven and is being proven to be the standard of truth. Let me go to the phone line before I go back to the clips. I got to bring in my good brother. I know this, my good brother, Gerald. I got to send to you. As-salamu alaykum, brother.
Malik Salam, sir. Welcome back, brother. It's good to be here live and in effect, brother, with this truth. Knowledge and wisdom of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed on to him by our God and Savior, who came in the person of one Master Farad Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
And in speaking, yes, sir, and in speaking on your subject you're teaching on, brother, the scripture says that when God comes, he would measure the earth. So how do we know that Elijah Muhammad met with God? He teaches us in our lesson in the actual facts. He measures the earth from one square inch to the other. Now, when you compare the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad with other religious persuasions and theologians and scholars and people of that nature, there's no religion that teaches you the diameter of aspects of the circumference of the planet, the diameter, how far the planets are away from the sun. No one teaches us that but Elijah Muhammad. When the devil goes into his laboratories and he splices out germs and figures out, you know, how he can cure sicknesses through his studies, that all comes from the grafting from which Yaqub grafted the white man out of the black man. Those were sciences. We're dealing with science, the theology of time. And that lecture in which the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gives, this is the wisdom. We're dealing with not just religion. We're dealing with the sciences of the earth. This is God's wisdom. That's why it's called supreme wisdom. I'll bear witness, brother. It's a beautiful time to be a father of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I wanted to touch on also, yes, sir, in the messenger's writings, after thing has failed, Islam comes after everything fails. Its significance is the making of peace. The Muslims' greeting to each other is peace. What better religion could we desire after being divided and made enemies of each other? Don't tell us that you have unity and peace in the white race's religion called Christianity. The white race does not like Islam because it is truth, entire submission to the will of Allah. And this is against their nature. They can't live the life of freedom, justice, and equality, not even among themselves. Many of you sing that old song, give me that old-time religion. Islam is that old-time religion. It is an old as God himself, and God is the author of Islam. Islam was not invented as in the case of Christianity and other religions. Islam came with Allah, God and the universe. The Holy Quran says, this day I have perfected for you your religion and complete my favor on you and have chosen for you Islam as a religion. 5:3. Here Islam claims to be a perfect religion and its author, the perfect one God. What can we imperfect about Islam when it means entire submission to the will of God? What can we bring or imperfect about this religion, Islam, which was the religion of Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and all the prophets up to Muhammad, the last of the prophets? Islam proves that its author is God, inasmuch as Allah God is on the other side of every true Muslim. This is as easy to see today. Every one of you who is accepting Islam in America can bear me witness that for the first time in your life, you have the power and help of Almighty Allah God on your side. Your whole life becomes a change for the better. Your fear is removed. Your grief is gone. Your desire to continue to do evil things is leaving you for good. Love for your brother, your people, for the first time is now becoming a reality. It is the aim of Allah God in giving you and I, Islam, to unite us and to remove fear, sorrow, and sickness, and bring us into the heavenly life, peace of mind, and contentment. Do you mean to say that you don't need such religion, or do you say the white race made Christianity is giving you peace and contentment? Whose world-recognized father is the Pope of Rome? Not Jesus, nor Allah. God is the father of the Christian religion, as practiced by the white race and those who believe in it. Islam is universally recognized in being the true, as being the true religion of the divine supreme being. The proof that it is the true religion of God and that it will get power and friendship for you with Allah, God, and the righteous. Why is the federal government and its thousands of agents doing everything in their power except outright shooting you and Allah in its true religion? Islam. They are trying and tricking you in many ways under the false disguise as now being a friend of yours and wanting to forget the past. But your agreement with them will not stand when you see the showdown. Islam is the natural religion of the black nation, the nature in which they are made, and we are called
right
to
there,
return
brother.
To Islam. Yes, sir.
All right, there. You just said something. I want to follow that up. I don't mean to cut you off, but you said something, and it just so happened
yes, sir.
You were saying something, and my finger is on a page in Fall of America that I want to get to on here that is exactly what you're talking about, and then I'm going to tie it in with the collapse. I think we have like 12 minutes. I'm going to mute you, but I'll bring you back in just a second. Let me just follow you up on this point here. I'm glad you read that, brother. So hold on one
yes,
second,
sir.
Okay?
Yes, on that, brother.
All right. Now, listen, the brother was just reading something. He was talking about how they're trying to trick you. And remember when I was telling you about how they're using this war on terror, which is a war of terror, because everything is falling down. They're trying to trick you into turning your back, and they're trying to make you alienate yourself and your mind against anything that's pertaining to Islam or Muslims or whatever. This is why they constantly are with this propaganda. This is what Elijah Muhammad says here. Mind you, this is what's causing the divine chastisement. This is why I'm addressing it. Listen to what it says. White America is angry at God for resurrecting the black slaves into the knowledge of self and his slave master. This means, listen to this part, that they are entering into a war with Almighty God, Allah, to try to oppose the truth of God, preached by the messenger of God. Read it in the second Psalms. I have to say that because not only are they trying to propagandize your mind, do you know that this is a war? They're not just at war with you. They are fighting you because they can't beat God, but they have declared war on the Lord of the world. A lot of you don't understand that. Do you think about this? Why in a time of all these economic constraints, all of this mass hunger and homelessness, right, that America continued to pour hundreds of billions and even trillions, not just America but around the globe, into war machines? Why are they so preoccupied with arming the space and arming under sea? Remember Vladimir Putin, I have an underwater drone that'll blow America up. Remember that? All of this is prophecy. Because we are in a time now for the destruction and the removal of an entire world. They don't just come straight out and tell you these things, but they give you enough that you should be able to piece these things together. You understand? This is what the brother was reading. And I think it got over him and it got over me, and then I said, hold on. I was just looking at this. It's all America. But this is what I'm saying. Because of the war that is declared, remember what, in the Theology of Time, what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, how God goes to war with these people. He breaks their trade, right? If you break the trade, you break the economy. If you break the economies, you break the military. If you break all of those things, you break the job market. You break the money markets. All of these things are intertwined. Yeah, matter of fact, if you don't believe what I'm saying, just listen. Let me play this clip. I think we have about 8 minutes to go. If you don't think that things are going downhill fast, I want you to listen. I'm going to see which one I'm going to play real quick. Okay, let me see. Okay, we'll play this one first.
Take a look at the situation with retail in the U.S. It looks really bad, no doubt. But the car manufacturers are doing the same. If a corporation can't be profitable, it first attempts to cut costs, fire some people, run sales, close some poor performing locations. Then if things get desperate, they file for bankruptcy. But today it doesn't seem to be an issue with a particular retailer. It's a widespread issue. All over the United States, stores are closing up shop. They just can't become... There is a record amount of store closures that are taking place not just in the United States, but we are seeing it all around the world. I'm going to get into this. I'm also going to cover some other economic factors here that plainly, simply are not discussed in the mainstream media. At least the public is not being made aware of this. They believe that everything is just fine when we need to understand the trends that are appearing here show us that weakness that is underlying this economy. You came here for the truth, so let me unveil that for you. Let's begin by taking a look at this. In 2018, there were 5,500 store closure announcements in the U.S., which was down more than 30% from a record 8,000 closures announced in 2017. But that didn't slow down, because already now today, we are seeing more store closures on pace to beat perhaps what we saw in 2017. It all depends on what's happening here, but it doesn't matter whether it's 5,000, whether it's 8,000 or 10,000. The trend is in, and that is not very friendly to the people who work at the stores, to the people who rely on that income. As I mentioned, it's not just in the U.S. We are seeing this in the U.K. We are seeing this in Canada, as I'll show you other places as well. Out of the BBC, Paper Chase proposes store closures to cut costs. Several prominent store closures in Canada this month. That happens to be January's data, but it doesn't matter. What we are seeing is the very big retailers. We're not talking about stores that, you know, every city has them. There's a plaza at the end of the street, and that store is changing every 3 months. There's a new store in that location. It seems to be a curse. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about big brand names. They're closing down, and it happens to be pervasive. We look at this in different countries. We look at it in different cities. We see that this is a trend. There's no way to deny it, and that's really something that I find to be odd when those out there refuse to admit that the economy is looking weak. And this is one of the reasons, the primary reason, if you ask me, why we are seeing this happening over and over again. Gap, Victoria's Secret, and even Tesla, 4,300 store closures already announced this year. But don't worry, economy is doing just fine. General Electric shares slump after CEO Culp warns on industrial free cash flow. Their stock moved down considerably. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, everybody was saying that this is going to be the best investment because the stock has done so terribly. Now's the time to pour your money in. I was seeing all kinds of articles related to this, even comments associated with it, how people were just loving this stock, thinking it's the greatest thing. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I just found it really, really funny that this has really flip-flopped in just a short period of time. Bill Gross sees much less alpha in era of QE and quant trading. I wanted to note this, that he is retired now, but a lot of people like to point fingers at him and suggest he's not good, he's washed up, this and that. I've seen so many articles and so many people talking garbage about him. However, he did outperform 96% of his peers. I'd say that's a pretty good track record. And basically what he said is that because of the computer algorithms, that everything today is screwed up. Nothing makes sense. Not that he can't beat them, okay? That's sure, that's half of it. But the computer algorithms have screwed everything up. And we are in for a world of hurt during this next crisis. Nobody has any idea what's going to happen, literally. I mean, just look at what happened from October. That was nothing, literally nothing in what we will see. Because there wasn't even an actual trigger event that made that all take place. Think about that for a second. No trigger event. There was no Lehman event that took place. So just imagine what's going to happen. And then we have this. I just wanted to show you it as an example. New home sales, prior versus revised. So when you go to your newspaper, your television, your news articles, you see this report, it gets put out there, jobs numbers, new housing, construction, manufacturing. That's the blue line, as you'll see here. But then it gets revised, and then it's revised down every single time. But you don't hear those revisions. You're never going to hear about that in the mainstream media. It's ridiculous. It is truly ridiculous when people are so swindled by this false narrative that has been put in front of their face. And unfortunately, a lot of people are going to be burned. And the people I actually care about, those with their pension funds who didn't have anything to do with this, they're going to suffer the most. If you found this video informative, please give me the...
So, you hear them talking about this. You hear them talking about a job situation, a crisis situation, and how that the upper echelons are turning on each other. This lets you know that trouble is coming. Before we go off there, I'm going to bring Brother Jerry. I think we got 2 minutes. I'm going to give him about 30 seconds to a minute to say what he has to say. Then I'm going to close up. And brothers and sisters, I want you to go over to the Help Blaze, support the Help Blaze, and purchase something over there. And go to the Hines 1555 blog and donate. Please donate to keep the show going and to keep the website up and running. Please. I really appreciate that. So now, let me go back to Brother Jerry. Brother Gerald, are they going to let me do it? Brother Gerald, assalamu alaikum.
Well, assalam, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, brother. Go take your 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir. Now, that's significant, brother. That site is called The Money GPS. And mm-hmm. What he is saying, who is he speaking about? He's speaking about the world of the white man. The Honorable Elijah mm-hmm. Muhammad said we are in a world that is being destroyed. But what world? It is the world of the white race that is being destroyed, not the world of the black man. The black man will rule forever. So we have to understand the destruction of a world is pertaining to the world of the white man. This is what they're speaking on of their fall, the retail and everything of significance in the world that they have built for 6,000 years. And just to continue up in the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, finishing up here, brother. Islam is the natural religion of the black nation, the nature in which they are made, and we are called to return to Islam in these words.
from the Holy Quran. Set your face upright for religion in the right state, the nature made by Allah in which he has made men. There is no altering of Allah's creation. That is the right religion, but most people do not know. The devils knows the true religion of Allah and have always known it, but they would not teach it because it is against their nature of to believe and teach the true religion of God, which would upset his chances of ruling the people under falsehood. Why not Islam? As the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, hurry, hurry, hurry. Join up to your own kind.
Judgment of America.
Come on, brother. Come on, brother.